If you have your Bibles, you can open John chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 27. On Sunday, as I shared in 1 Peter about wives and husbands, a very difficult subject, and I, you know, most of the time when people ask you to share, a lot of times I struggle with that. For me personally, I would rather, that's why I enjoy Calvary Chapel style of going verse by verse. I enjoy where I don't have to, during the week, say, okay, Lord, what do you want to show me, or what am I speak to? Because sometimes I feel like, well, I'm trying to point out sin in somebody else's life, or maybe sin in my own life, or whatever. And so I enjoy going verse by verse, because you can't mess around. You go verse by verse, you cover, and you get the full counsel of God. So on Sunday, we looked at, you know, husbands and wives, and towards the end, we read where the grace of life, and one of the other things that God's been showing me that I want to share tonight is that grace of life and living the life that God intended. Not in the sense that the world sees it, as we're going to see tonight, but how God intended it. And I believe, as we're going to read tonight, as I share and kind of what God spoke to me, I pray that you would see the same thing and the idea of that God wants to do and work through us in many ways that a lot of times I think our perspective is skewed, or it's not the right perspective. And so as we read through these verses, I want us to have God show us a heavenly perspective in the way that he saw things, not necessarily the way the world sees. And we're going to see the differences in the spiritual and the physical. So if you guys all know the story of the woman at the well in John chapter 4, if you want to read through it, I'm not going to read through the first 26 verses, but the bottom line is, it was appointed. Jesus was appointed to go through Samaria and to meet this woman that was at the well. Second of all, as you read in the first 26, you're going to notice that he initiates a conversation. He sits down at this well around noontime or so. And in those days, you didn't talk to women, for the most part, every man, unless they asked you a question or so forth. See, he sits down, he initiates a conversation with this woman. And not only that, he asks her for something, and you guys all know the story. He wants a drink of water. And you see that in the story, but then the bottom line is he answers as he's talking in conversation where he says that he is the living water. Because as you guys know, physical water, like I am right now, will make you thirsty again. And you'll need another drink in a little while and so forth. But you know, the spiritual living water, it quenches. And it continues to moisten your mouth in a spiritual sense. Oh, I'm fine. Oh, cool. I was going to bring my bottle of water, but I couldn't remember the rules. And I was like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to break any rules or anything. But he wanted a drink of water, and Jesus says, I am the living water. Next, he confronts her sin. This woman, he says, woman, she's had five husbands, and she admits and says, yeah, she lives with a man that's not even her husband. And so Jesus, as he has an appointed time to meet this woman, to explain different truths to her, and he confronts her sin, and, you know, just lays it all out to her, and she gets caught up on where to worship and so forth, and Jesus finally at the end closes out by saying, to worship God sincerely, it must be in what? In spirit and in truth. To worship God, thanks, Kenny. In truth and in spirit. And so you see that in the first 26 verses, and now we're going to pick it up in verse 27. It says this in verse 27. I'm not going to read through all of it because I'm going to try to get through 42. And it says in verse 27, at the point, you know, Jesus says, I speak to him. He just told the woman. Now it says that, and at this point his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? So here they come. They come up and they see Jesus talking to a woman. Remember, that didn't happen in those days. It was a different culture and so forth. The men did not speak to women. And so Jesus was doing the out of the ordinary. Just like God calls us to do, doesn't he? Things that are out of the ordinary, that aren't normal, that when the world sees, they say, whoa, man, you shouldn't be doing that. Well, what are you doing? You're weird. Why aren't you like all of us? And Jesus was talking to this woman. They couldn't understand it. Look what it says. As he talked to the woman, the men, the disciples, they marveled. They continuously wondered, why? And what do you seek? And why are you talking with her? But did anyone say it? No. Verse 28. Look what it says. The woman then left her water pot. And it says, she went her way into the city and said to the men, come and see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? So this woman, right? She, after she's talking to Jesus, where does she go? Where does she go? She left her water pot, went into the city and said to the men, first of all, she went there to draw water. The very thing that she went to draw water, this water pot, guess what she forgot? The water pot. She goes there for the physical spirit. I mean, the physical water. Guess what? She receives basically the spiritual water, the living water. And what does she do to the cares of the world? She leaves them behind. She leaves her water pot. Look what she does. She went her way into the city and said to the man, come see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? She got so excited about the spiritual that she forgot about the physical. She left that water pot there at the well. As we keep our focus on the things of God, you know what we're going to find? The physical really isn't that important anymore. And that's what this woman did. She saw, had this encounter with Christ, saw its importance, and wanted to go where? To the city. Verse 29, look what she says to them. Come see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? If you're here this evening, you've received Christ, this should be your response as you've encountered the living water. The same response as this woman did, right? She received, she met the giver of life, and what's the result? To do what? To go and tell others. And she says, come see a man that told me all the things I ever did. She was excited to share. When your life is transformed or God does amazing things, we share. It's interesting right now as my family's going through a lot, even my home life, and even the past few weeks, God, or actually the last month or two, God's been really challenging me to take it another level in my walk with the Lord. That's why I'm kind of here this evening, and I shared on Sunday. The opportunity, God has said, God, Trav, as I give you opportunities, I want you to take a step of faith. And it's scary, and it can be difficult to do. But Lord prepares you. God prepares you for what he has that's going to come and that's going to happen to you. And praise the Lord, he prepared me. Many, many years it's been. But now, God, I'm at a point where I say, Lord, okay, I'm going to be obedient. And I want to follow you, and I want to be obedient. And as you give me opportunities to share and to speak or opportunities at work, that I will do. And that should be our perspective as Christ, just like this woman. God cannot, and if he has changed your life, your result is you're going to want to share. So she goes to the town. She sees these guys. She was excited to share. She wanted others to experience Christ. Isn't that the ultimate thing? It's one thing to say, oh man, God's been doing in my life. I'm so excited. I want to share with you about my relationship with Christ. That's exciting, and you want to share. But you know what's even better is when that person receives the Lord and you get that joy to see someone else going closer and drawing closer to the Lord. And this lady, this woman, had that opportunity. So it says, verse 29, come see a man who told me all the things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Notice she also put all the things that I ever did. God knows us. He knows our innermost secrets. We're not hiding anything. Nothing at all is hidden from God in our lives, even though we think it's hidden. And it may be hidden from other people. But God knows our innermost, and he will reveal that sin. And it's scary sometimes, but it's a good thing. God wants to shine that light into the dark secrets of our heart. And so we did with this woman, and all she could do was tell other people. Verse 30, it says, could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. Why would they go out? What were they so interested? Well, remember, they've been waiting for the Messiah. You know? And here's the lady that says, could this be the Christ? Could this be the anointed one? If someone told you that or came up or said, hey, what's his name's in town, like a baseball player, Roger Clemens, or he was here a few months ago, but if there was someone they said was in town, I'd be like, really? Yeah, he's over there, you know, golfing or wherever. Tiger Woods is in town. I guarantee there would be a handful of golfers out there going to see it. Same story. Here's this lady that says, man, this guy knew everything about me. Come and see. They've been waiting for the sign, so they wanted to check it out. Verse 31. In the meantime, remember, so this is kind of, John's, as he's writing this gospel, he's telling the story kind of thing. They show up, they wonder why he's talking, but in the meantime, the lady had left as they show up. And so he's kind of, you know, he's telling a story the best way he can. That's why if you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see different perspectives. I can't tell the same story as my wife, right? We tell them totally different. She likes to kind of add some stuff, make it a little dramatic, and I like it more kind of real. Yeah, it didn't really happen as bad. Different. Did the same thing happen? Yeah. But you will hear two different perspectives, just like you have the four Gospels. And so this is going on. So as one side of it, they show up. The other side of it, now John's telling that part. Now we're going to get to the good part. Well, that was good, but now we're getting even to the meat of it, or the kind of part that I want in. Because anytime you see the red letters that are in my Bible, that means it's Jesus speaking. And whenever Jesus speaks, I want to even listen a little harder than what John was sharing. And so Jesus, verse 31, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. Typical, isn't it? The disciples show up. It's been a while. Either they were in town or so forth, and they know he's hungry. On one sense, it's great that, wow, his disciples care about me. They want to know, hey, have you eaten, or you need to eat? They cared about his physical side, but the other side of it is they really didn't have as we're going to see, they didn't really have a clue. So the bottom line is, they wanted to know if he ate, or make sure he ate. So it says, urge him, saying, Rabbi, eat. Verse 32, here we go. It says, but he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Jesus says, I have food to eat of which you do not know. As you guys maybe are familiar with this text, the food. What is the food? You know? The food of which you do not know. Evidently, well, as we see, the disciples didn't understand. They were a lot like us. In a time in their life where they're looking so much in what's going on in their lives and what's fulfilling to the physical, and they get confused. Their perspective is not where it should be. Because Jesus wouldn't have said this to them. I have food to eat of which you do not know. Look what it says, their answer. Remember, they were thinking physical. Jesus was thinking spiritual. He was on a mission, and he had a heavenly perspective. But look at their response. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, verse 33, has anyone brought him anything to eat? They didn't get it. Right over their heads. He said he had food of what we do not know. Guys, Jesus, you need to eat. Oh, hey, I have food that you guys don't even know about. You know, you can see him going, all right, who brought a McDonald's? Or, you know, whatever, Pizza Hut or whatever. They were confused. They were looking around going, okay, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Where did he get this food that he's talking about? Don't you love it? The humanity of the disciples. Much like us. They were confused. They didn't have a clue what he was talking about. These are the same guys that have been hanging out with him for a while. They still didn't understand the heavenly and the spiritual stuff. They didn't understand the difference in the spiritual and the physical. Why do we think 2,700 years we'd have such a good grasp of it? We don't. And that's what God showed me as I was reading these verses. My perspective has to be back on the Lord. And as we're going to read, as we're going to get into it, I don't want to go ahead of myself. But let's read on. It says, therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Verse 34, here he goes. Jesus said to him, my food, you want to know what Jesus' food is? To do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What was his food? To do and to finish the will of his Father. What drove him? What was vital to him? To do and to do the work that the Father had instructed and to finish it. He was focused on nourishment that came from what? His communion with the Father. That which communion with Christ, with his Father, that's what drives him. That's the food. And he's on a mission, right? His food is to do what? To do and to finish the will of his Father. Too many times, and it's sad to say it happens a lot in the church, there's too many Christians that begin things and God says he wants to finish and we quit. Or we stop, or something distracts us from finishing what God has set before us. Jesus was determined to do and to finish the will of our Father. What has God put in front of you in your life? Where does he have you right now, where he is leading you to do and to finish? It may be simple as you just got saved and you want to read through the Gospel of John. This doesn't have to be that, well, I'm starting here and then in 20 years I want to be the pastor of a church, or I want to be a missionary, or I want to have enough money so I can support missionaries. No. Wherever God has you, there is something, you're just not seeing it. And God wants to use and to do through you. So you need to search and say, Lord, what is that? And Lord, I want to be faithful to do and to finish the work that you've put before me. Verse 35. This is the kind of the key verse that kind of hit for me, and I pray that I can make it clear enough to you. It says, do you not say, so you say, guys, do you not say that there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, listen up. I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. The physical side is what? Guys, look at this harvest. You got to get a picture. They're out. They could be out. There's wheat fields or so forth. They're looking around. And he says, look, these fields, maybe they're not ready, but in 4 months, they're going to be ready to harvest. Right? In the physical sense. But Jesus said, don't worry about 4 months from now. Worry about now. What? Look what it says. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. God, if you're sitting here this morning, has a harvest waiting for you, and it's not 4 months away. It's now. And there are people in your life that are struggling and hurting, even in your home life, that you can minister to. And your food as you commune with God is to do and to finish and to do those things that God's called you to do. But it's all in our perspective, understanding. Otherwise, he would have never spoke this way to these disciples. And if we think we're any better than disciples, I think we're fooled. These guys, these are the apostles. And sometimes I think we get puffed up and we think, well, I got it all under control. I understand God's word and we saw the mistakes that they made. I'm not going to make the same mistakes, and we don't even have a clue. As soon as we say that, we're in the same boat. So don't say that there's still 4 months. You know, and the other side of it too, as he's sitting there and you look at he's probably standing there and here's this wheat fields or whatever, but in the distance, here comes those Samaritans. Remember, we just talked about them coming out of the city because they wanted to hear. So he could have been the same thing as Jesus is looking. He could have been saying, look, there's the wheat, that's good. The physical side, the spiritual side. Here comes the Samaritans coming out to hear me. Here they come. You see, there's a good picture there. They got caught up so much in the physical, but God says, no, look at this. Behold, I say to you, I mean, he says, lift up your eyes. Now, this isn't what I'm saying, but I'm saying, you know, that it's possible that it was, that they were looking up. Here comes some Samaritans, and here is a harvest. These people want to hear. There's people in your life, and you have the opportunity to speak and share what God has done in your life, just like the woman did. Now is a time in your life, maybe, and it may not be 4 months, but God, you know, our mission is to be like Christ and to finish. And me personally, this is kind of the thing that came home, because God says, Trav, this is where I want you. This is where I'm talking. There's no more kind of messing around. You're at your next level that I want you to take the next step. Now is the time. That's kind of the heading that I kind of did for the message tonight. It was just, now is the time. And it's not only that now is the time for my, like I said, this isn't like, oh, wow, you know, you get a chance to share with for another. No, I'm saying any way of your life. Change your perspective that now is the time. As we know, we're towards the end times, so I don't know how long, but the bottom line is there's people that need to hear about Christ in your life. Last week, I had a lady that I work with, I think not a week ago Sunday, you know, her husband was strangling her, bottom line. And, you know, and she was sharing this with me. And, you know, and you're in a work setting, so on one side of it, you don't want to be the employee that says, well, let's take out time, let me pray on the company's time. No. You know, but as she shared this with me, the only thing I could say was, you know what? You know, I invited her to church, and she's got kids. So I just share that with her, and I just prayed for her the rest of the day. And things have been slowly getting better, and she's, you know, shared things with me, you know, just passing along because we're in the same segment and so forth. But the bottom line is there's opportunities. We just got to look for them. We need to have the perspective that God has. So verse 35, do not say there are still 4 months and then come to the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the field, for they are already white for harvest. Verse 36, and he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. Both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. In farming, as I spent many days on the farm, no, I didn't spend any time on a farm, so I have no idea what he's talking about. But I've read a lot on farming and so forth, and I've heard a lot of stories, and you can read Jesus, he uses farmers many, many a time because that was the main thing in those days. And as Jesus spoke, he related to what was going on. He was the greatest teacher that ever lived, so he used examples that were right in front of their faces, just like as we're reading tonight. It wasn't any foreign ideas or anything. He used what relates to them, and so he continues on in this idea of harvesting. And he says, he who reaps wages what? Receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. Both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. In the physical side, as you're a worker in those days, on the if you reap wheat, you get the joy of knowing you got the food till the next harvest. On the physical side, if you reap, you're bringing in all these things, you get the joy of knowing you have food till the next harvest. Not only that, you get paid for the day. But let's look at the spiritual side. You know what you're going to find as you labor and you sow? Or if you're either doing sowing or reaping, you're either planting or reaping it. You know what you're going to find as you do it spiritually? That you're satisfying the purpose of your life and there will be joy. See? Just like on the physical side you get blessed, but even on the spiritual side is much more greater than the physical. Because you're receiving spiritual blessings. All right? There will be results. We may not always see them. The Lord of the harvest will reward you. As we reap spiritually and you look out on the harvest in your life or whatever people you know in contact with, there's going to be joy. And you know when you take that step of faith that this woman at the well did? Guess what? You're going to be blessed. And you're going to have a mission that Jesus had to do and to finish the will that God, the Father, as he shared. As we do that in our lives, as we minister to one another, God's going to bless us and our perspective is going to change and we will be reaping the spiritual harvest. But key, both laborers are vital, right? There's reapers and there's sowers. Do they perform different tests? Yeah. But who's the ultimate rewarder of everything? It's God. That's who we work for. He's our ultimate boss. He's the one that rewards us as we labor spiritually in this harvest that he puts before us. Verse 37. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. If you read 1 Corinthians, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I want to really hit on this because I had an opportunity to be in Belize for a few years and teaching at a school. And not only do you teach math and all the other subjects, but you get to teach spiritual ideas and principles of God. Well, you know what? Just like in that school, and as I get opportunities to share in Sunday mornings with the youth group, you're not always going to see any fruit. You may not see any fruit. And I talked to Kenny a few weeks ago with, even with the youth, spending a lot of my years I've spent dealing with youth. I haven't seen a lot of fruit, to be honest with you. And you know what God showed me? Who cares? That's not what I asked you to do, did I? I did you do ask you to do what the woman at the well did. Just go out, tell them about the things that you did. Whether or not they respond is not your problem. It is me. I am the Lord of the harvest. One sows and another reaps. It's a partnership, isn't it? I may be sharing here tonight and you may be sitting here. You don't know the Lord. And so as I'm sharing here, God does something in your heart and you want to receive Christ. And so after the service, you receive Christ and cool. I got to plant a seed and I got to reap, the benefits. Praise the Lord. But what if, as I'm sharing here, 2 months down the road, somebody else leads you to the Lord? Guess what? It's a team, isn't it? Someone has planted something in your life at some point in some time. And you're at a point where you're growing and somebody is watering you, helping you to grow, and so forth, and they're reaping. You see, it goes hand in hand. Luckily, I've been a part to see both sides of it. But the bottom line is, God is the one that grows, as I read earlier. Who gives the increase? God. And I think if we get that idea in our, as we share with other people and as we minister in the harvest, it's not about you just do what God's called you to do. God will do the increase. God will be the one that will water and so forth, and you know, help lead, put people in their paths to reap and to sow. So I just had to share that with you, because if you do, you have the mindset, you can be like me, you get frustrated. Man, Lord, why? I haven't seen that person's life change. Or how come my wife hasn't changed? I pray for her every day and so forth. And God says, You obedient to me. Don't worry about other people. There may be times where you have to confront them, but I'll speak to you loud and clear, Trap. And I will, and you will do it in a way that is out of love, not, you need to start doing this or whatever. All right, does everyone get that idea? That we are, right now in your life, you're either planting seeds or you're reaping the benefits. And I don't know, in different relationships in your life. Verse 38, almost done. Says, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have both entered in labor. I kind of went ahead of myself, but that same idea. Others have done it. You may be on one side of it. Don't forget that. It's vital. If you don't, you forget things like that, you get miserable, because you know what tends to happen? Well, Lord, I guess I'm not sharing the right way. Or maybe I didn't study that. Maybe I didn't pray hard. Well, those could be factors in it, but the bottom line is no. You be obedient and to do my will. Verse 39. So after Jesus has spoken, there's so much there. I mean, we could take a lot of time, and I could, you could look at so many different ones, but I'm not here tonight. My main thing was to get through to you that there's a harvest out there. And let's see the results of this harvest. The verse 39 says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So many of them came out, they believed Jesus because why? Look at this. Yeah, because she told them. All right? Many believed because of her life transformed. They knew this one. This lady has been married 5 times. She's living with a guy who's not even her husband. So here they have this lady telling her, and all of a sudden she's totally different. She's excited about this guy because why? He spoke to her things that she'd done in her past. He knew everything about her. They wanted to find out. They want to know what's so different about this guy. All right? And here's a cool picture that I didn't think of myself, but as I was reading the commentary, I was looking at it. It says that Jesus was teaching the disciples about harvesting souls, and this woman was reaping the souls of her neighbors. This lady just got saved, and look at all these people that came to Christ because of her. Here you got disciples hanging all the time, and they're still trying to figure out who fed them. You see? That's why it has not, there's a sower and there's a reaper, but God's the one that does it. It wasn't about this woman. You know what it was about? What she did was she was obedient. And she wasn't afraid to take a step of faith when God puts you in a position at your work or whatever. And you say, well, I don't know if it's the right time. Or it may not be the right time, but pray. The Lord will give you time. You'll be obedient and you may see results just like this woman. And it's that perspective that, God's been sharing, personally, just showing me. And I just wanted to share with you guys tonight. Verse 40, close out these last 2 years. When the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. He stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And then verse 42, this is pretty cool. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So what was the ultimate thing that came down the bottom line? What did they say? They said, now we believe not because of what you said, but ultimately, because we have heard. At first it was that sharing that maybe you're doing with someone. And then what happens? They get to know the Lord and now they experience. They now believe because of a personal experience with Christ. But God used this woman to bring them to themselves. What a beautiful picture of a mission completed. Right? Here's this lady, and all within a few hours, a couple days, because Jesus spent a few days there. But the bottom line was, is that it's a great picture of how we, if we're willing to take that step of faith, to go out, to speak, to live lives different from the world, to share the experience that you have experienced, that what God's done in your life, people will respond, and they want to hear the same guy that has changed your life, and so they'll come And guess what? They may not always respond and become believers, because I guarantee not every one of them received Christ. But they were obedient. So to close, each one of us hopefully has experienced Christ. You know, I'm not sure everyone here, but if you have, then you have a mission. What is it? Well, to do and to finish. In different relationships in your life, God has a mission for you. And it's different for every one of us. Like I said, we're all at different walks. Some of us are down here, some are baby Christians, some are a little bit mature, some are, you know, been walking the Lord for years and years. But you know what? If you talk to the people at the top over here for years and years, the ones at the bottom, God speaks to them the same way he speaks to even the young ones about it. And they learn things every day. It's not like we get to a point where, oh, wow, I figured it all up. No, God will remind you, because we forget through different teachings or people that we meet and so forth. And he challenges us to take our walk a little further. And so tonight, that's kind of what I just wanted to share with you. That's kind of where I'm at in my life, is because God has, kind of like the woman, God spoke to me. He's revealed himself to me. He's changed me. I'm not perfect. You can ask my wife on Sunday morning. But my desire is to please him. My desire is to live the way and, Lord, and to do and to try and finish that which he has completed. I mean, that's what he wants to complete in my life and in your life. So that's my challenge for everyone tonight. And don't forget to go along with that, that you're not always going to see fruit. And if you are at that point where you've been sharing with others, and don't give up, but you may not see fruit. And there will be someone down the road that may reap those benefits that you planted. But guess what? They're just as important. God will do the watering. So that's my challenge. And God bless you guys. And let me close in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for